Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Looming Tower by Lawrence Wright is a landmark work of narrative nonfiction that traces the rise of modern jihadism and the long chain of decisions, rivalries, and missed signals that preceded the September 11 attacks. Drawing on extensive reporting and widely documented public records, Wright builds a multi-layered story that moves from the ideological roots of militant Islam to the personalities and institutions that shaped the conflict between Al-Qaeda and the United States. The book pays close attention to key figures such as Osama bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri, while also examining how American intelligence and law enforcement agencies approached the evolving threat. Rather than offering a single-cause explanation, it portrays terrorism and counterterrorism as human systems, vulnerable to bias, bureaucracy, and competition. Written with the pace of a thriller but grounded in careful sourcing, the book helps readers understand not only what happened, but how history can tilt toward catastrophe when warnings go unconnected. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, ideological and personal origins of the jihadist movement. A central focus is how modern jihadism emerged from a blend of ideology, personal grievance, and historical circumstance. The narrative explores the intellectual currents that helped legitimize violent struggle, including the influence of radical thinkers and the impact of repression in parts of the Middle East. The book emphasizes that militant networks did not appear fully formed. They developed through relationships, mentorship, and shared experiences in prisons, religious circles, and conflict zones. By following the early paths of influential leaders, it shows how personal identity and political rage can become fused with a grand, transnational mission. This approach helps readers see that recruitment is rarely just about doctrine, and more often about belonging, status, and purpose. At the same time, the book highlights the role of funding channels, charitable fronts, and social ties that allowed ideas to travel across borders. The result is a portrait of an ideological movement that grew in stages, adapting to opportunities and setbacks while cultivating a narrative of victimhood and holy duty. Secondly, Afghanistan is a crucible for networks, skills, and myth-making. The Afghan war era functions as a proving ground where disparate militants gain combat experience, organizational discipline, and a sense of destiny. The book explains how the anti-Soviet struggle attracted volunteers, money, and international attention, creating an ecosystem where ideological entrepreneurs could meet, learn, and build trust. This period matters not only for military training, but also for myth-making participants came to believe that faith and sacrifice had defeated a superpower, an idea that later encouraged overconfidence and escalation. The narrative also illustrates how logistical capabilities were established, including travel pipelines, document facilitation, and safe havens that later enabled global operations. Afghanistan is portrayed as a place where local conflicts became globalized and where battlefield camaraderie hardened into durable alliances. Readers gain a clearer understanding of how war zones can become incubators for transnational violence, especially when governance collapses and outside actors support armed groups for short-term goals. The Afghan chapter of the story shows how tactical experience and symbolic victory combined to shape future strategy. Thirdly, the rise of Al-Qaeda and the strategy of spectacular violence. The book tracks Al-Qaeda's evolution from a network of veterans and financiers into a more coherent organization focused on high-impact attacks. It outlines how leadership choices, internal debates, and shifting geopolitical conditions influence target selection and operational planning. A key theme is the strategic logic behind spectacular violence provocation, publicity, and the attempt to reshape global politics through fear and polarization. The narrative connects the group's worldview to concrete decisions about training camps, operational security, and alliances with local militants. It also shows how charisma and symbolic authority help leaders attract recruits and resources, even when their decisions were risky or morally abhorrent. The story highlights the iterative nature of terrorism, where earlier attacks test defenses and reveal weaknesses, informing future plots. By presenting organizational development alongside ideological commitment, the book helps readers understand Al-Qaeda as both a belief system and a managerial structure. This dual perspective clarifies why the threat proves so resilient and why countermeasures that ignore either dimension can fall short. Fourthly, U.S. intelligence and law enforcement fragmentation, rivalry, and blind spots. A major contribution of the book is its depiction of how American institutions struggled to interpret and respond to a fast-changing threat. It examines the cultural and bureaucratic differences between agencies tasked with intelligence collection and those responsible for criminal investigation and how these differences shaped incentives and information sharing. The narrative shows how rivalry, distrust, and competing missions can prevent vital clues from being combined into a coherent warning. It also explores how leadership decisions, resource constraints, and legal frameworks influence what investigators could do with the information they had, rather than portraying failure as simple incompetence. The book emphasizes systemic friction, siloed databases, narrow jurisdictional boundaries, and professional pride that discourage cooperation. Readers see how analysts and agents could be diligent and brave, yet still be trapped in structures that made coordination difficult. This topic is essential because it frames the pre-9/11 period as a lesson in organizational design, illustrating how institutions can be optimized for one era's problems while remaining exposed to a different kind of adversary. Lastly, warning signals, missed connections, and the road to September 11. The final lead-up is presented as a chain of accumulating signals that were serious but often disconnected. The book describes how threats evolved through a series of incidents and investigations that, in retrospect, appear like signposts. Yet it also explains why hindsight can be misleading, since decision-makers faced a flood of partial intelligence, false leads, and urgent priorities. The narrative focuses on the practical difficulties of translating scattered information into preventive action, especially when the adversary is adaptive and operates across borders. It highlights moments where different outcomes might have been possible if information had moved faster or if institutional assumptions had been challenged. Importantly, the story avoids reducing the tragedy to one missing memo or one ignored report. Instead, it illustrates how risk can compound when small gaps align limited human sources, legal uncertainties, and underestimation of the enemy's ambition. This topic leaves readers with a clearer sense of how complex systems fail and why prevention requires not only vigilance but also integration and accountability. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a deeply reported, narrative-driven understanding of how Islamist militancy developed and why the United States struggled to stop a catastrophic attack. It is especially valuable for students of history, journalism, national security, and international relations, as well as general readers who prefer a story told through people, places, and turning points rather than abstract policy language. That the benefit is practical, as well as historical. It sharpens your ability to see how ideology, organizational incentives, and institutional structure interact. You come away better equipped to evaluate current security debates, recognize the dangers of siloed decision-making, and understand how unintended consequences can grow from short-term strategies. Compared with many books on terrorism that focus narrowly on either geopolitics or operational details, this one stands out for balancing the personal biographies of key actors with a clear picture of systems and institutions. Its storytelling makes complex material memorable, while its breadth provides context that single-incident accounts often lack. For readers seeking both clarity and narrative force, it is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Lawrence Wright, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.